You're listening to the Grace Through Faith weekly podcast. For more information, go to mygtf.org. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Welcome to GTF. Glad that you're here. As you're making your way back to your seat, if you would grab your bulletin, there's a couple things that I want you to be aware of that are going on. And some of you probably already know some of these things, but for those of you who don't, these are some really important things that are fixing to start happening in January at GTF, and I want to invite you to come be a part of them. First of all, if you look at the growth track excerpt in there in the bulletin, if you're looking to make GTF your church home, growth track is the place to be, and we are changing growth track up. And so if you're here and you've never actually joined the church and you're looking to do that and you want to go through growth track, we've kind of made this a little bit more available than it has been in the past. In the past, we've offered it typically two or three times a year. Now we're going to start offering it every single month. And in order to do that, it's going to take place during service. And so if you're worried about missing out of what's going on, basically the way that we're structuring that is come be a part of worship so you'll still get to have that time with the Lord. But then as soon as worship's over at that transition where we greet everybody right before the message, we're going to go back and the people that are going to be hosting Growth Track are going to be doing Growth Track during the message back in the Growth Track room. And so if you go down this hall, you'll see a sign down there and it'll actually be a room that you can go to. And so there's three installments, Growth Track 101, where we talk about who we are as a church and how you can become a part of the family here at GTF, where we came from as a church, kind of the way that our government structure works. You can have all of your questions about who GTF is and how we approach ministry in that first session. The second session is a brand new session, so I just really want to make this available to you. If you've never, or if you have gone through Growth Track in the past, 201 is new, and we really felt like there needed to be a week where we talked about spiritual growth and spiritual development, where we talked about your relationship with the Lord, where we talked about who the Holy Spirit is, where we talked about water baptism. And so we're going to do that in 201, and it's going to be excellent. Bo and Mercy Perkins are actually going to teach that section of Growth Track. And then the last week, 301, is how you can discover what God has created you to do in His body. God has created every single person in the body of Christ with a specific gift set and skill set to do ministry. And one of the things that we believe very firmly here at GTF is that it's not the pastor's job only to do the work of the ministry, it's the church's job to do the work of the ministry. And so we want to equip you to discover what your giftings are and how it is that you can plug in to the ministry that God's asking you to do, and that's in 301. And in 301, you'll actually have an opportunity to become part of our dream team, our people who serve during our services and then throughout the week here at GTF to do the ministry. So I just want to encourage you to be a part of Growth Track. That starts next Sunday. And so we're going to be offering it next Sunday. If you miss 101 and you want to take that, it'll be offered in February. And so we'll keep you posted of when those sections are going to be offered every single week, every single month throughout the year. Okay, the second thing that I wanted you to be aware of, I know Pastor Bo and Mercy both, we were praying about this morning. This kind of kicks off a new year as Pastor April was just talking to us about. And in order to step into a new year well, I just really felt last year like God was calling us to take some Wednesday nights and carve those out in the month of January and give God the first fruits of our year. And so we're going to do that again this year. I believe that God has some specific things. I'm going to give a prophetic word that I believe that's really tailored for us. April was just asking us to declare some things over this decade and this year of what God's calling us to do. And I just feel like that this is a virtuous endeavor in our spiritual lives to mark out some moments at the beginning of the year and say, God, we really do want to go somewhere with you. We want to allow you to come in, just like we were singing in worship just now. We want to allow you to come into our lives, take us to a deeper place in you, and lead us in what you've called us to. And so for the next three Wednesday nights, starting this coming Wednesday, we're going to have some services on Wednesday nights. So we're not going to be doing our small groups in the homes like we typically do. We'll wait until Deeper's over to start our small groups back up. But we will have GTF Kids going on, the youth. Awakened Youth is going to be meeting with us here during Deeper. And so I just want to invite you to come be a part of that. What is the time? I don't have my bulletin right in front of us. 6:30? So 6:30. Thank you. So right there, 6:30 on the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. So that's going to start this Wednesday night. And as we step into that moment, I just really want to encourage you to lean into the Lord and be expecting God to speak some things to you and to do some things in your spiritual walk. Amen? All right, last thing, I want to say something about what happened a couple of weeks ago. Some of you may have seen this on social media this weekend. But we had an incident at the church, and if you were here two Sundays ago on December 22nd, you might not have even known anything happened, but we actually had somebody get arrested out in the parking lot, actually at the front of the building. And I wanted to kind of tell you a little bit of what happened that morning, because I really do believe that that God's hand was on us as we were worshiping that morning. About halfway through worship on that Sunday morning, there was a gentleman that kind of rolled into our parking lot, and he had just stolen a pickup, or he was driving a stolen pickup. I don't know if he'd just done it. And he was being tailed by a sheriff's deputy, and he came in and he parked in the parking lot, and about maybe 15 minutes into the service or so, he commits to enter the building. And I don't believe that he was trying to do anybody in the building harm. That's my personal opinion. I don't know his motives. But I think he was trying to just kind of blend in and get away from the sheriff's deputy that was tailing him. And so one of the things that happened as he came through our front doors is we have a fantastic usher team. Every single weekend that makes sure that we have a great environment, they keep it cool or warm. Most of the time it's cool. And I'd really like it being that way. So they keep the environment great. They have a hospitable environment for us to come and worship in. But they really do have their eyes on safety and what's going on around us in the building so that we can engage with God and let God do in our lives what he wants to do that morning. And they do a great job. And as he came through the front doors, he came through these doors right here, and he came through those immediate outside doors, and one of our ushers opened the door for him, and Scott Vines was the one actually let him in the building. And Scott said he saw me, and he just stopped, and he stood up against the wall. And so he didn't even make it through those second set of doors. He stayed in that vestibule right inside the church building. And as he was standing there, the sheriff's deputy pulled up underneath the awning out there, and he saw him there, and he motioned for him to come outside. And Scott said he turned to go outside, and he stopped, and he hesitated. And then he went ahead and went out the building. And as he was talking to him, he was patting him down. He had a gun on him. They took him down, arrested him, and he went to jail. All that happened in a very short amount of time. Clayton Williams, off-duty police officer, was here that day. He went outside and rendered aid. What I asked him this morning, he said, I went out and just kind of swept up and cleaned up. The hard work had already been done, right? And so here's the thing that I want to say about that. Number one, God's hand was on us that morning, because that could have turned into something that it really didn't need to if he had made it into the sanctuary and sat down in a group of people and all that happened in here. But the second thing that I want to say is just thank you to everybody that was involved. Thank you to the Moore County Sheriff's Department. They were really doing their job very well that day. Thank you to our ushers. They were doing what they needed to be doing. And just thank you to the Lord, because that could have been something more than it was. I was talking to Buddy Cox. He's the head of our usher team. And he came up to me during our meet and greet time, right before I got up here to preach that Sunday morning. He said, hey, we had an issue. Somebody just got arrested in the parking lot, and they had a gun on them. And I'm literally sitting there fixing to get up and preaching. And he's like, okay. And I was like, but it's like done? Like, it's taken care of. It's like, oh yeah, it's already over. We're done with it. He's arrested. He's going to jail, all that stuff. And so I was just super grateful for not only God's protection and the vigilance of others that were watching out for our safety, but the fact that nothing got interrupted. God did something in some people's lives that day, and it didn't get interrupted because of something that was going on outside the building. And so I'm just very appreciative for what was going on in people's activity that day, but also in God's heart for us. So thank you very much. All right, if you have your Bibles, open those up this morning to Joshua chapter 3. And we're going to start a new series this morning entitled Calibrate. And I want to share this prophetic word for you. As April was challenging us to, at the end of worship there, as we were praying together, to declare some things over our year, I just want to affirm what she was encouraging us to do, and even challenging you to go home as you have your personal prayer time, to exercise that declarative power that you and I have. Do you know that the world was created through what? The spoken word. And you're the only creation that God gave the ability to speak things into existence, to speak and it change an environment, okay? And so I just really want to encourage you that there's power in the words. What the book of Proverbs says is there's life and death. The power of life and death are in your tongue. that you have power in your words. And so begin to prophetically declare the purposes and the kingdom of God, his intention for your 2020. And this is what I really felt as I was praying for us as a church, is that the Lord is calling us into a time of consecration. As we step into this moment in January and we go into these services in deeper, that God is calling us into a moment of consecration. And in that, that we're called to give, he's calling us to give him the first fruits of 2020. As we give him the first fruits of 2020, there's something that God wants to do. You know, one of the things, and we're fixing to read this, that Joshua told the nation of Israel to do in the passages that we're fixing to read. He said this in verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And that was a word for the nation of Israel in the moment that they were in, that they needed something different. They needed God to do something to break the pattern of the old, to help them step into something new. And as you and I get here to 2020 and we close out an old decade and an old year and we step into something new, I believe that the opportunities and the assignments before us in this coming year and even in this coming season of what we're stepping into are so important that they will require a moment of calibration with God's Spirit. I want you to hear what the Lord is saying to you in this moment, okay? Because there's something that God has for you in your life, for this house, in this coming year, in this coming season, that is so important, it's really imperative that we as the people of God synchronize with the Spirit of God so that we can participate with what he's doing. That's what calibration is all about. We're going to be talking about that on Sunday mornings. Then on deeper, we're going to be doing something different. I've encouraged everybody online, but I want to say this to you, is we have this book for sale. And this is Brennan Manning's book, The Furious Longing of God. And it's just a powerful, powerful book. This is a book that'll stir your soul. It'll cause you to kind of, it'll provoke some thought in you. And there's some devotional questions at the end of each chapter. And I'm going to take some of the concepts that he's talking about in this book, and we're going to explore them in a deeper way during our Wednesday night services. And so I just want to encourage you to get on Amazon and buy it. We have a few copies that are for sale and for $10. We got it pretty discounted. And so $10 in Guest Connect, you can go buy and get. I'll tell you, half of our books got lost in the mail during Christmas, and so we're a little bit shorthanded. But even if we sell out this morning, we'll take your name down, order your copy. You can buy it from us, and we'll have it here as soon as we possibly can. So I just want to encourage you that there's some things that we can do to carve out some moments with God, to lean into what he's doing so that we will be ready to participate whenever God calls us into whatever he's doing in our life. Amen? Now, if you look at Joshua chapter 3, the thing that's happening in the nation of Israel's journey here is a lot similar to what's before us as we're in a new year. You know, new years bring opportunities. And I don't care who you are, where you are in life, how far you are from God, or how close you are to God, every single time that you begin a new year, there are new opportunities for you. There are God opportunities that are going to present themselves to you, and there are opportunities of the flesh that will present themselves to you. Every single year, we have a clean slate, and every day we really do, right? That's what the Bible says. His mercies are new every morning. But in every moment, whenever there's a reset, there's a new moment that we can step into opportunities that are before us from God, but also opportunities from the flesh. This is what the Bible says, that the Lord has a plan for your 2020. I believe that. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's God's intention for us every single day of our lives. Whenever you wake up in the morning and you greet the Lord, he has something intended for you that day. And it's something that's intended to prosper you. It's something that's intended to bring you into a deeper place of his blessing and his intention and his will for your life. But did you know, as much as God has a plan for your 2020, you have an adversary that wants to pull you off track. And he wants to sabotage the plan of God in your life. And he wants you to get so consumed in the things of the flesh that you miss out on what God has for you. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, he prowls around looking for somebody to devour. He's looking for opportunities to pull you into. That's why he's called the tempter, right? To tempt you and allure you into something other than what God is doing in your life. And so make no mistake about it. You and I are at a moment in 2020. Whenever opportunities will be put before us, what are we going to do with them? That's the same question that Joshua and the nation of Israel were wrestling with as they stepped into this chapter, Joshua chapter 3. So I want to read this with you. I read for you chapter 3, verse 5, where basically God is giving Joshua marching orders for the next day. And if you don't know the backstory of what's going on, Joshua has already sent in some spies to scope out Jericho, and God has called them to go destroy the city. And so they've already done the reconnaissance, they've already looked at everything in the city, and they've come back and given the report, and God has given them the battle plan. And he said, tomorrow, what I want you to do is this, that, and the other, and I want you to set your foot on the banks of the Jordan. And as God tells Joshua this plan, he turns to the nation of Israel and he prophesies to them. He says, consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders, is what one translation says. Another translation says, the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. They were fixing to get ready to see God do something so profound and so powerful, so miraculous, that it was going to take them back to a moment in their journey with God 40 years previous to the parting of the Red Sea, where they were reminded of the wonders of God. Look at verse 9. It said, and Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan River. Now therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bring the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand up. It shall be stacked up, is what another translation says, shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan, this is a paraphrase or a parenthetical statement here. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the time of harvest, which was the time that they were standing at the bank. So this wasn't a small trickle of a stream. This was a river that was raging and overflowing its banks. Okay? The waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. Now here's the thing that I want you to see in this story. There's some representation, there's some prophetic pictures that I want you to see about this moment that Joshua took the nation of Israel. And they came to the banks of the Jordan. And as they were at the banks of the Jordan, this was a river that was overflowing. And I want you to see something, because these waters, these banks represented inhibition. Listen to me. Do you have some things in your life that are inhibiting you from stepping into the next thing that God is calling you to do? Are you stuck in a cycle that you come to 2020 and you're in a new year and you're like, yeah, Pastor, you're saying all this stuff about God wants to prosper me and he has some plans for me, but I thought that last year and nothing ever happened. You know, these people that Joshua were leading, they were stuck in a place for 40 years. 40 years. They were doing circles in the wilderness, and they had come to this same bank 40 years previously, and they refused to go into the land because they were scared. They had these inhibitions that were preventing them from proceeding into the plan of God. Listen to me. Joshua was at a moment, and the nation of Israel, this wasn't a Joshua thing. This was a collective thing throughout the entire nation of Israel. I don't believe that there was one person that was ready to get left behind, because they saw their moms and dads refuse to do what God had asked them to do, and they stopped, and they had been paying for it for 40 years. So I think there was this collective movement within the nation of Israel. It's like, it doesn't matter what comes at us tomorrow, we're crossing that river. We're breaking out of this cycle that we've been in this wilderness for 40 stinking years. Have you ever gotten to that place where you're like, man, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of this old thing that's going on in my life. I'm ready for something to break open. I'm ready for something to break off. I'm ready for something to change. Listen, 2020 can be your moment. I believe this without a shadow of a doubt in my being, that God has every intention to open the doors for you to break into something new and something free. Free from the bondage. Free from the past. Free from the inhibitions. And so as the nation of Israel comes to these banks were something that represented the inhibitions of the past. Something that they refused to do 40 years ago. And listen, what God said is, this is how you'll know that I'm with you, is the ark, the representation of my presence, it's going to be in the middle of the waters. You know, as you read the New Testament, the waters of the Red Sea that parted and the children of Israel passed through them, what the Apostle Paul says is those waters represented baptism into Christ. These waters in the Jordan River represent something that is instilled inside the people of God that break inhibition. That's the Spirit of God. See, there was something in the disciples' life that was inhibiting them from getting what Jesus was trying to deliver to them while he lived on the earth. And the day that Jesus arose and he ascended to heaven, he said, I want you to wait for the gift that my Father has promised. And whenever he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he's going to give you power. Power to what? To be my witnesses is what Jesus said. To break inhibitions and step into everything Peter had been struggling with that was preventing him from being a witness for Christ. From being everything that he was called to be in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. All that stuff was going to melt away once the power of the Spirit enabled him to become the Peter that God was calling him to be. See, as the nation of Israel was coming to this river, it represented a past that was full of opportunity that they missed out on. As you and I step into 2020, I think that every single one of us can think about opportunities that we've missed in the past, and we can kind of grieve over those opportunities, and maybe we kick the dust around, and we get mad, and we get offended about those opportunities missed, and some of us even are shaking our fist at God, blaming him that we missed those opportunities. But make no mistake about it. The Spirit of God is here to help you break through to the opportunities that God, that God's calling to you in this moment. Amen. He's available. Whether we avail ourselves to his help or not is on us. So much so that Joshua is the one at the end of this book. He challenges this same nation of Israel who succeeded, by the way. They crossed over, as we just read, on dry ground. They go into the nation, the nations that encompass the promised land, and they begin to kick butt and take names. Victory after victory after victory. They go to Jericho and the walls fall down, as you know, right? We've all heard that Sunday school story. But then as soon after that, they suffer their first minor defeat. And in that minor defeat, they learn the principle and the value of first fruits. And after that, they go and they fight five kings, the five kings of Ammon. And as they're fighting these five kings, listen, what was the promise that Joshua made? Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will begin to do amazing things among you. Whenever they're fighting these five kings, I don't know if you remember the story, if you've ever read it, I would encourage you to read through Joshua this month. But as they're fighting these five kings, God is giving them such abundant victory as they're fighting these kings, that Joshua prays this prayer and he says, God, could you cause the sun to stand still so that we can rout the armies and plunder their possessions? And God causes the sun to stand still. He lengthens the day that they're fighting these five kings so that they can get a tremendous victory, not just a little bit of a victory, but so that they can get a complete victory over these five kings of Ammon. Over and over and over again throughout the book of Joshua, you see this season that the nation of Israel breaks into that undoes all of the disappointments of the past. He ushers them into this moment where they are no longer defeated, where they're no longer not living up to their potential, but they're in complete victory, they're doing what God's called them to do, and they're succeeding in their relationship with the Almighty. As he closed the chapters of Joshua, Joshua stands before this same nation of Israel that tastes this victory, and he challenges them with this: choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, this is the deal, GTF. We get to choose. There are opportunities that are going to be laid before you and I in this moment, in 2020. There are going to be opportunities from God and opportunities of the flesh. Which one are we going to choose? Now, I want you to turn over, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Is it okay if we go a little bit longer? Y'all good? That's only like my introduction. But the next part's really good, because it's going to set us up for what we're going to do on Wednesday night. This is the challenge that Joshua gave the nation of Israel, and this is the challenge that I'm going to lay before you this morning. Joshua said, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. What does consecration look like? What did Joshua's consecration look like? This is what consecration literally means. It is an association with the sacred. God was calling the nation of Israel into participating with him in possessing the promised land, possessing, by the way, their inheritance, not his. He was asking them, please participate with me so that I can bless you, so that I can bring to pass what I've been speaking over your life. And in that moment of them basically participating with the sacredness of God, Joshua challenges him. He says, I want you to consecrate yourself. Now, what did that look like for Joshua? Basically, consecration in ancient times meant you took a bath. I know we take that for granted because most of us take a bath every day. Some of us take baths two times a day. But in their times, water was not an abundant source or something that everybody had in abundance, especially if you lived in the desert. And they've been roaming around as nomads. And so they were subject to coming across water whenever they stumbled upon it. Whenever they stumbled upon it, they would camp out there for a while, but then whenever they moved away from the water. And so whenever somebody in ancient times consecrated themselves, they took a bath, they bathed themselves, and they washed their clothes. They changed their clothes, put on clean clothes, and they themselves were clean. Now, I don't know if you see the imagery there, but there's something about Joshua's consecration that just totally smells like that there's a new opportunity before them. And Joshua was asking the nation of Israel to recognize that, to even champion it, saying, this is something new. Let's not drag in the stink of yesterday. Let's wash it off of our bodies. Let's be done with this desert, and let's step into the next thing that God's called us to do. And so Joshua was asking the entire nation, praise God they took a bath that day. He was asking the entire nation to take a bath. Now, I know that you probably took a bath either last night or this morning, okay? That's not what I'm asking of you. I'm asking you in a spiritual way to begin to consecrate your life. Here at the first part of 2020, to step into a moment of consecration whenever you cleanse your soul. We are called as Christians in the new covenant with Christ to practice a lifestyle of consecration. This shouldn't be something that's foreign to us. There should be seasons in your spiritual journey with God where you hear the prompting of the Spirit to say, hey, I want you to consecrate yourself. Listen to me. Whenever you hear the Spirit of the Lord prompt you to do that, get ready. He's fixing to do something. I had you turn to Philippians. I'll be there in just a second, but listen to what 2 Corinthians 6 says. This is Paul. He says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and then I will receive you. There is this thing about being with God, and praise God that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are clean before God. But what Paul is saying is there's this reality that in your fleshly life, in this world, there's stuff that we do that defile us, the temple of God. You know the opposite of consecration is defilement? Whenever you consecrated the temple, you made it clean and ready for the clean presence of God. And whenever you defiled the temple, you defiled it and made it dirty and separate from God. There are things that we do in our life that we just pick stuff up. This is what Romans chapter 12 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." He says, present your flesh as a living sacrifice. This is the reality that you and I have in Christ, is that your spirit is clean before God, but your flesh needs to be consecrated. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm asking you for the next several weeks to consecrate your soul. I want to ask you to fast. I want to ask you to turn some things off that distract you. I'm going to ask you to turn some things on with the Lord so that you can tune into what he's doing. See, this is what I believe, is that the opportunities that are before you are so important, it's going to take some calibration with his spirit. And so what I'm asking is that the next couple of weeks, as we go through deeper on Wednesday night, is that you'll turn some stuff on and that you'll tune into what the Spirit's saying to you. Listen, this is not something that should happen one time in your life. This should be something that's rhythmic in your life. Maybe you don't do it every new year. Maybe you do it twice a year. But whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to consecrate, what he's trying to do is, hey, tune in, listen. Synchronize with me. Calibrate some things in your life so that you are aligned with what I'm doing and you don't miss the opportunity. What Joshua was asking the nation of Israel to do was to consecrate themselves and participate with what God was doing and not miss the train as their parents had. Their parents were so focused on their own comforts that they missed the plan of God, and it messed them up for an entire generation. Listen. There's something that God has for you. There's something that God has for us as a church. And so as a church, I want to ask us to consecrate ourselves, tune in and listen. Lean into what God's doing and say, God, what is it that you're saying to me? What is it that you're saying to us? What is it that you're saying to my family? And so if you're here and you've never fasted before, I want to give you an example, okay? And so if you're here and you're like, Pastor asked us to fast, and you start this 21-day fast and you're just going to drink water, not drink anything, I'd say that's probably a mistake. Let me give you an example of a fast that I would suggest to you. Number one, I would fast some food. Maybe you're not going to fast all food, but this is the thing that I would ask you to fast, is desserts, junk food, alcohol, sodas, all the stuff that you don't need for daily living. Set it aside. I'm not saying that a bag of Doritos is sinful. What I am saying is that you can live without it for a couple weeks. So food, I would encourage you to fast media, television, YouTube, social media. Here's the thing I would ask us to do, and I don't quote the Pope very often, but I heard the Pope say something last week that I was like, hey, that's good. And so whatever you think about the Pope, just listen for a second, okay? He challenged the entire Catholic Church to do something with their phones. And so as you fast, I'm going to challenge you to do this, okay? And he said, as we are a people that have family values, he challenged the Catholic Church to lay down their phones and put them away during mealtimes. How many times are you sharing a meal with somebody else and we're all on our phones checking something? And so I would encourage you to fast, not only media, but do something with your phone. I mean, I have this thing, I'm just like you, I have this thing all the time and I'm checking either text messages or Safari or I'm looking at an app or doing something. And yes, I read my Bible on my phone, okay? But listen to me, if what you're trying to do is turn off the noise, switch to airplane mode. Turn the signal off. There needs to be a moment in consecration where we disengage from the flesh, the things that we don't have to have, and we engage with the Spirit. The last thing that I would say is devote that time. If you don't watch TV, and if you're not eating Doritos on the couch, you're going to have a lot of extra time on your hand. And so what am I asking you to do? I want to ask you to spend some time in prayer and to spend some time in the Word. I have some Bible reading plans. I always am doing one that I would suggest to you. Many of you know, if you've been here for very long, every January I always put one before you. But there's two of these that I would suggest to you. One of them is one that I've always suggested in years past. Both of these are, by the way, through Navigators, which I love their program. But if you're looking for a Bible reading program, they have some of the better ones, I think. But two of them that I'm going to suggest to you is, one of them is, if you've never done a Bible reading plan and you've never tried to do that before, one of them is called 5x5x5, and it's really bite-sized. It's basically, you'll go through the entire New Testament in a year. It takes 5 minutes a day. It's not very demanding. It's not grueling. You get two reflection days a week. So if you're one of those like me who falls behind in their Bible reading plans, you got 2 days to reflect and catch up. So that's one that I would encourage, if you're a beginner, to jump into. One that's a little bit more is this Book at a Time reading plan. Both of these are in Guest Connect, and you can download them online for free. There's no charge for them. This is entire book of the entire Bible in a year. And so this is one that I'm actually going to be, April and I are both doing this one this year. And by the way, I just, as you read through the Bible, one of the things that I do a lot, I just listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so I'm not saying that you have to be so, if you're one of those people who's on the go and you're a very busy person and you can't stop and open your Bible, by the way, I would encourage you, as we're going through this consecration moment, to stop. I'm one of those guys that's going all the time for the most part of my life, right? Because I have a lot of stuff going on. But I would say during this moment, stop. Open your Bible. Read it. But you can also listen to it. I have an app on my phone. Whenever I'm at the gym, I'll be listening to the chapter that I'm going to be listening to that day, and then I'll get into whatever podcast I'm going to be listening to on the treadmill. And so I just want to encourage you, if you're going to fast and you're going to consecrate yourself, you're going to have some margin all of a sudden to do something with, don't waste that margin. As you turn off the things of the flesh, turn on the things of the Spirit. That's what fasting is all about. It's not about self-abasement, about making yourself feel terrible, and I'm really mad because I don't get to smoke my cigarette, or I don't get to get my snuff, or I don't get to get my Doritos, or I don't get to watch my show. It's about creating margin and cutting that out and cleansing your soul so that you can step into the Spirit. So don't forget to do the second part. This is basically what my fast is going to look like. I'm going to fast media. That includes Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and all those different ways that I watch TV. Desserts, junk food, candy, sodas, all that jazz. I'm going to do a complete food fast on Wednesdays. As we go into deeper, and I would challenge you, if you've never fasted food, I'm just going to do water only on Wednesdays. And the way that looks for me, I do day fasts on a kind of a rhythmic way in my month. And I usually have a day that I'm trying to do that whenever I'm fasting. And whenever I do a 24-hour fast, I'll eat supper on Tuesday night, and I start my fast. It can work this way, by the way. I start my fast on Tuesday night after supper. The clock starts. And then I don't eat breakfast. I don't have any snacks. I'll just drink water all day long. And then whenever we're done with deeper on Wednesday nights, I'll break my fast. Okay? I'll go home and eat something light, a salad, something, not Doritos. Okay? If you've never fasted before, I want to challenge you to fast. There's something that it does to your flesh that's good. One of the things that Jesus called us to do as his disciples, he's actually said that you cannot be his disciple if you don't do this. He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And what fasting does is it builds this habitual thing where we're getting used to, on a regular basis, denying our flesh and saying, you know what, stomach, you're not in charge of me. I'm the one that's in charge, and I'm going to do what he says. And so it's great to harness your flesh and make it subject to you and not the other way around. Okay, enough with that. Why fasting? Because I believe that there are such important things before us in this year that you and I need to tune into the Lord. I'll read you this one scripture. Look at Philippians chapter 3. There's two examples that I'll give you of denying yourself. First one's Paul. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, he says, verse 18, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. He's talking about people who were following Jesus and they were among the fellowship of believers and then they left. Now they're enemies of the cross of Christ. He says in verse 19, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, their appetite. And they glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, what I'm asking you to do in consecrating yourself is a normal rhythm of the Christian walk. This is not something, if you've never done this before, I want to challenge you to embrace it wholeheartedly. Because this is something that's normal. And the reason it's normal, as Paul was saying, is you have to get used to telling your flesh no. Your flesh is the thing that is corrupting your life, by the way. Your flesh is the thing that's unredeemed on you. Your spirit is holy and it's pure and it's clean before God, but your flesh is in the way. And so there's something that you and I have to do on a regular basis to check the flesh and tell it, you know what? I'm following the Lord and you're not going to take me off of the place that I'm wanting to go. The flesh is the thing that needs to be subdued. This is the thing. Here's the other example I'll give you is Jesus. Jesus called his disciples to deny themselves. You remember the image in the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus was praying and he invited his friends, he invited his disciples to come with him to the garden. Remember this, right? And as he was praying, he went over to him the first time after he got done praying, and he went over to Peter and he woke him up. He'd fallen asleep. All three of them did. He's like, wake up, man. And Peter's like, man, I was just sleepy. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here's the thing. Is that Jesus was calling his disciples in a very profound moment in Jesus' life. Maybe not theirs, but in Jesus' life, this was a pinnacle moment for him and his Father. And he invited three guys, his best friends, Peter, James, and John. He said, come with me and pray. And these guys got sidetracked because of their flesh. The spirit was willing. They wanted to be in it with Jesus, but their flesh was in the way. Listen to me. Jesus is inviting us into something. Get your flesh out of the way. Take a moment. Consecrate yourself. Check the flesh and set it to the side so that you can hear what the Lord's saying and so that you can step into it and participate in it with him. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? By the way, I told you what my fast was going to be. I didn't tell you what April's was. She said she's fasting sushi. And if you know my wife, she doesn't like seafood or sushi at all. And so I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm completely kidding. But she did say that. She's fasting something different. But this is what I want to do. We're fixing to take communion. And so if those who are going to serve would go ahead and prepare the elements, I just want to pray for us. As we kind of stand here at the beginning of what we're going to be doing for the rest of this month as a church family, I want to ask you to just bow your head, and I want to pray, and I want to just hear the Lord. I want you to hear the Lord. And what I'm going to have you ask the Holy Spirit is not, hey, God, should I consecrate myself? Should I fast? Should I set some stuff aside? What I'm going to ask you to engage with him on and begin to inquire of him about is, what do you want me to fast? How do you want me to consecrate myself? What is it that I need to cleanse myself from? How is it that I need to crucify my flesh and set it aside so that I can engage with your spirit? And so just in your own way, would you begin to ask the Holy Spirit that question? Holy Spirit, what is it that you want from me during this moment? How do I fast? Lord, would you just begin to reveal to people the things that are noise in their life that are distracting them from you? Lord, I believe that you're speaking to your people. Would you help us tune in? Would you expose the things that are just white noise and static and even banging and clanging, that are covering up the gentle whisper of God in our life? Put your finger on it, Lord. And Lord, as you put your finger on it, I'm gonna ask you for strength. How many of you just already know God's asking something from you? Just raise your hand. I know God's asking. Keep your hand up, I'm gonna pray for you. Lord, as you begin to show us what you're asking of us, would you lend us your power? pour out your Spirit on us. Give us what we need from your hand so that we can step into the Jordan River, so that we can stand on dry ground, so that we can break the cycles of old, so that we can step out of the curse of our parents' past, so that we can step out of the curse of our past choices even, and step into the newness of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our communion people to go ahead and come on up. And as they serve us communion, Pastor Bo and Pastor Mercy are going to lead us in worship again.